All right, perfect. Good morning, everybody. For the record, it's April 17th, 2025, 9:30 a.m. I'm Phil Ulbrich, hearing examiner for the City of Kirkland. We've got a couple code enforcement hearings this morning. The first one we're going to do is for the Mark Reed case, which is file number COM 20-00174. The hearing format for both hearings will be the same. Well, the city has the burden of proof, so they essentially get to go first and last. They'll start off by going over the notice of violation that's involved and why they believe the violation has been committed. Once they're finished, then we'll move on to the responsible parties listed in the notice of violation. They'll have an opportunity to give their side of the case. And once they're done presenting their side, then we go back to the city. And after that, I have 10 business days to issue a decision. That's kind of the overall process. All witness testimony is subject to cross-examination. So the city gets to question the responsible parties' witnesses and vice versa. Responsible parties, you get a chance to question city witnesses as well. So that's pretty much the way it works. Another important factor is that by state law, all the information I get about this case is what's put in the record today. I don't get to talk to staff about the alleged violations before the hearing. I don't know anything about it except for the staff report that staff puts together and the exhibits that they send me. That way you all know exactly what information is being considered for that final decision. And along those lines, I got the staff report from Ms. Sedulicek. Yeah, let me look up the exhibit list here. Here we go. Yeah, so we have a total of 12 documents, or 15, sorry, that Ms. Sedulicek wanted me to look over, which includes the notice of violation, GIS maps, some emails concerning the complaint process, contact letters, site visit photos, and the pre-hearing order and photos of the project site. And is Mr. Reed here today?
He is not.
Okay, so this is just the city today, is that it?
It is.
Okay, all right. Well, I take it the city has no objections over entry of your staff report and 15 documents, is that right? So we'll enter that into the record. And Ms. Sedulicek, let me swear in. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, in the interest of time, because Mr. Reed is not here, if I can submit my PowerPoint with notes.
Sure.
And then we can move on to the next case.
Okay. All right. Let's take that. I'll take that and make that exhibit 16. And one quick question, Ms. Sedulicek. It's just I haven't had a chance to look this up. From what I recall, one of the violations dealt with, was it disabled vehicles, I think?
Inoperable vehicles.
Inoperable vehicles. And how did you determine they're inoperable for them?
Several of them have flat tires, broken windows.
Oh.
There's existing issues on them. I've asked Mr. Reed if we could start the vehicles, but again, he hasn't been communicative for the last, I think it's been almost 9 months now.
Okay, and that's all pretty evident, the photographs you got
yes.
there, I think. Okay, all right, yeah, that's all.
Mr. Hearing Examiner?
Yeah.
I'd like to interrupt really quick. We just noticed that Mark Reed is online.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
I think we should probably proceed.
Sure.
With that presentation.
Let's do that then. Okay, Ms. Sedulicek, I guess not quite as quick as you thought, but go ahead.
So this presentation is for case number COM 20-00174 regarding inoperable vehicles and vehicles that are not parked in an approved parking area or storage. This is a repeat violation for Mr. Reed. The previous case was COM 18-00206, which I also managed for inoperable vehicles and vehicles not parked in the approved driveway. The property located at 8011 Northeast 128th Street is zoned RSA6, and the lot size per the assessor's record is 9,525 square feet. This GIS map shows the location of numerous vehicles, boats, and trailers in red at the side in front of the property. The gold rectangle in both photos is the approved driveway where operable vehicles may be parked. Several site visits have been performed for this case over the last 5 years. The top right photo is from August 22nd and August 24th, 2021. I conducted site visits to verify the code violations originally submitted. Excuse me. On June 4th, 2024, the middle right photo, I conducted a site visit to see if there had been any progress with the vehicles. There was not. On January 28th, 2025, which is the lower right photo, I conducted another site visit to see if any progress had been made, and no progress was evident. Prior to this hearing on April 9th, 2025, I conducted one last site visit, which is the left photo, to see if there had been any progress, for which there wasn't. If anything, the property is in worse condition overall. This Google Map image from 2011 provides a better understanding of what is meant by the approved driveway. You can see gravel to the left and to the right of the driveway where the white van is parked. Kirkland Zoning Code 105-R.100 establishes that lawn and gravel are not considered an approved driveway. There also used to be a deck over the area behind the van. I'm not sure if you can see it in this photo. It's a darker area above the blue tarp there. It was removed after the last code enforcement case in 2018, which has made it easier to move larger vehicles and boats back into that area. This is a quick timeline of events over the last 5 years. April of 2020 is when the complaints were received on the property. Those complaints included excessive fill brought in, concern of the septic system, fence concerns, enviro blocks placed along the property line, and derelict and inoperable vehicles on the property and not in approved parking areas. Mr. Reed has not responded to me or attempted to communicate with me since September of 2022. And then in conclusion, the city asks that Mr. Reed be directed to repair or remove all inoperable vehicles, boats, and trailers and store them in an approved parking area or storage no later than May 18, 2025. We're asked for a $200 per day fine, which is a repeat violator fine, not to exceed $10,000 per violation per Kirkland Municipal Code 1.12040E2. Be assessed each day the property has not been brought into compliance until such time the vehicles, boats, and trailers have been repaired, removed, and or properly stored. And we're asking that the hearing examiner authorizes the city to abate any condition which was caused by or continues to be a civil violation and to recover costs and incidental expenses that are not corrected by the required time and date in accordance with KMC 1.12060.
Okay, that's Ms. Sedlicek. Well, let me ask Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed, did you get Ms. Sedlicek's staff report and all the attachments? It's a 37-page PDF. You there, Mr. Reed? Is he able to participate if he wants to, or he's just choosing not to? Okay.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, just give us a second here. We got to modulate the volume just a little bit.
Well, I was yelling because you couldn't hear me before.
Okay, all right, yeah.
The camera's not on either, and for some reason I just see a white sheet here.
Okay.
Conclusion.
So you mean on your screen you just see a white screen?
I just see a white screen, says conclusion.
Oh, there it is. Okay. It's, I don't know. Can
so kind of I got a lot of bones to pick, but where to start
Mr. Reed, just hold on a couple of points before you get into that, and you will have an opportunity to speak your mind on this. Don't worry about that. But first of all, I just want to make sure, did you get a copy of Ms. Sedlicek's staff report and the notice of violation?
I received something this Monday that was hand delivered in this envelope here. I don't know why the camera's not on.
Okay, so can you see the council chambers right now? What can you see?
I now see council chambers, and okay. I guess that's probably Shannon at the podium.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
I see a City of Kirkland logo, and then okay. I see my name, Mark Reed.
Okay, good. Well, I'm just trying to find out. So, Ms. Sedlicek, can you explain what was just delivered to him? Was that your staff report then on Monday? Or
do you know? It looks – it this appears to be what you call what do you call it? Anyway, you got to get it before trial.
Yeah. So, Ms. Settlecheck, was this your 37-page staff report and attachments?
Correct.
And that was hand delivered on Monday?
Yeah, it was couriered to him on Monday.
Okay. All right. So Mr. Reed, you got this then? It's about 37.
I got this Monday, and I'll dive into part of it. It's like, got me so angry that every time I went to read anything in it, that I became so furious that I got the shake so bad and really angry about how this has all gone on. Thing has basically left me incapable of doing the stuff that I got to do.
Okay, understood. But Mr. Reed, I just want to deal with some formalities first, and then you can speak. But I just, first of all, I just need to know, do you have any objection over entry of this 37-page document that you received?
I do. I have some of those things in there she lied about, probably unknowingly, but she has lied about some things in what she said already. One, there's not a single flat tire on any of the vehicles.
But again, just trying to get rid of these for
none of the windows are broken out.
Okay.
Mr. Reed,
you're okay. Again, I'm just dealing with some technical formalities here. Then you'll be able to talk about the substance. This isn't.
No, I haven't had an opportunity to go through. I haven't been able to. That's what I'm saying. Physically, I've not been able to go through the entire packet. This is quite literally a book.
All right. So you're saying you need more time to look this over before you?
I've looked over some of it, but I was able to do it this morning. But the thing is every time I open it, I just go into these physical shakes. It just, because I'm so furious about how this has transpired a lot of it stems from this development they put in behind me and the trials and tribulations that had to do with that. And for her to say that I didn't have an easement on this property the last 35 years, that I bought this property 35 years ago, 34 years ago, for her to say I didn't have an existing easement prior to this developer coming in 5 or 6 years ago is just BS. And she's got that written in this form, something about a provisional easement. I've never had a provisional easement whatsoever. It was a holy soul impinged easement for ingress and egress.
Now, Mr. Reed, I'm still just trying to deal with the document and then whether we should need to hold the hearing today. So you're saying that you need...
I'm saying that what I've seen in the document so far, much of it is very, very incorrect.
Okay,
and
all right.
So some of it, I've told her in voicemails.
Please stop, Mr. Reed, please stop interrupting, all right? Again, I mean, this is, when we're dealing with this document, it's just whether this document is relevant to this proceeding, whether there's some documents that are inauthentic, that, the mislabeled photograph or something. It's a very technical issue. The fact that you disagree with what Ms. Sedlicek has to say doesn't have anything to do with whether this document needs to be admitted. So I'm going to admit this document. The second issue I need to resolve at this point, though, is, do you need more time to look this over? I mean, if the city agrees, we can continue this proceeding to the next time I'm out here, which I believe is May 7th or something.
I do need more time to look this over. Do I call it your honor or whatever? One thing in this document, you've got a lot of fruit of a poison tree. This the example that has Don something or other. He was one of the two house flippers that bought my neighbor's house. And he made it sound like that I put blocks on his property and that I stole his topsoil and this kind of stuff. All of that went to court and I won. The blocks are on my property, not on their property. And I didn't steal any of his soil. And I think when you look at the fruit, when you look at the fruit of the tree, a lot of this is coming out of there, like where she gets this septic thing and so many of the details are within there. And I tried to explain that to her in a voicemail, but she never returned any calls. as well as the easement situation. The easement situation's been going on.
And I don't know if the easement situation really has that much relevance.
It actually does because she refers to it in this packet.
Well, first let me settle check. Do you have a problem with continuing this until the next hearing, or do you?
We can continue it. I need to take a look at the calendar as far as the date goes. Okay. I did want to let Mr. Reed know that this has nothing to do with the easement, nothing to do with the environment blocks, nothing to do with the septic, nothing to do with the fence. This is solely about inoperable vehicles on the property and vehicles that are not parked in an approved driveway.
It does have some to do with the fence.
No, it doesn't.
The developer put in a fence and blocked my access.
That's not what my case is about. My case is solely about vehicles.
Stuff in here that says that it's up to him what he wants to do because it's conditional easement.
All right. So, Mr. Reed, we'll send you a notice of when this is continued to. And like Ms. Settles just says, this is all just about the vehicles parked on your property, that they're parked in inappropriate or places that aren't allowed by the city zoning code, and that they're also I always forget what the term is.
Inoperable
vehicles.
She sends a much longer book that lists. It's like from the start, 5 years ago or whatever.
But Mr. Reed, take a look.
It was a list. It was a book of items, and it overwhelmed me so much so that I was getting attacked by the neighbors next door, which were just house flippers. They bought that house
Mr. Reed, it doesn't really matter. I mean, look at your notice of civil violation there. It's attachment one. Look at what the code violations are. That's all that is relevant to this proceeding, is whether or not you violated code section 115.115, 21.41.302. And that's it. It's about the parking of the vehicles. That's what it's about. All this stuff, I mean, you know, all this other stuff in there is just background material. It's not real. All I'm going to be looking at is whether or not you violated those provisions. And it doesn't sound like the easement or the property lines have anything to do with those issues. So, I would recommend, I know it's very upsetting, but I would recommend
to disagree.
We
can agree to disagree.
Yeah, take a close look at that, though. And then, I would recommend you talk to Ms. Sedlicek, you know, if you can do so without getting too upset, to find out exactly what it is.
Years ago, she wouldn't answer any of my voicemails. I left her messages after messages after messages, correcting her when she would say things about the easement and the neighbors next door and all that. And whether she got them or not, that's, you know, neither here nor now, there now, but I certainly left them, the voicemails back then.
All right. Okay. Well, be that like I say, I mean, it sounds like you need some time to look at this focus on the notice.
I'm also going to have to sue the city of Kirkland over the fucking easement that they gave, they stole from me and gave it to the developer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, like I said, for this proceeding, all we're talking about are the parking violations, the vehicle violations, and that's all I'm going to be looking at. From what I know so far, the easement doesn't look to be relevant, but I'll take a close look at that myself for the next hearing, and then we'll all be in a better position to address it. So, Ms. Settlecheck, you're going to send a revised notice then when you get a chance when the next hearing is? Okay, right. So we'll do it that way. All right. Now, Mr. Reed, thank you for participating today, and look forward to resolving this next time we get to talk. Okay, let's move on to the next case. Let me pull this up here. And just give me a minute to dig these documents up. Okay, almost there. Got the second one. Sorry, it's just stuck in traffic driving an hour for 20 miles and didn't have a chance to set up my computer here. Where is it?
No rush, we're fine.
Okay, finally. Okay, on to COM 23-00437. This is Mr. Mogadas' appeal. Mr. Mogadas, are you here today? Okay, great. All right. So same format as last time, although I tell what that format was as we went through it, but it's going to be, we'll start off the staff presentation. Ms. Condon, right, will be giving us the overview of the proposal. Once she's done and any presenting any witnesses she have, then Mr. Mogadas will move on to you and you'll be able to give your side of the case and present any witnesses you want. And then after that, the city does a rebuttal there. That's the overall process. And Mr. Mogadas, did you get a copy of the staff report, which is quite a few pages long in this case, a total of 32 attachments. Did you get a copy of that at some point? Okay, do you have any objection over entry of those documents? As it said, this would be just for technical reasons. You didn't find a document relevant to this proceeding, or it was mislabeled photographs, that kind of thing. Any of those types of problems? Okay, I'll go ahead and admit the staff reports and the attachments exhibits 1 through 32. And yeah, if you disagree with the contents of any of those, of course, you'll have an opportunity to do that. All right, Ms. Condon, let's jump right into it. Let me swear in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
So I'd like to submit for the record a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that I'm going to go through. I think we have a printout of it.
We do have a printout.
To afterwards. But I'll go through that right now.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you go through it and then we'll vote and admit it into the record.
Okay. So this presentation is for code enforcement case number COM 23-00437 regarding tree work that resulted in the removal of more than 25% of the live crown of a cedar tree, which constitutes a tree removal. The top tree is located at 1117 First Street, Kirkland, Washington, 98033, and the owners of the property are Mohammed Mogadas. Did I say that correctly? Okay. And Mercedes, I'm going to announce her last name incorrectly.
Versailles.
Versailles. Okay, perfect. Mercedes Versailles. The issues, as outlined in the notice of civil violation and on this slide, is Mohammed Mohadis's and Mercedes Versailles' action of topping a landmark tree, which resulted in the removal of more than 25% of its live crown, a violation of the city's regulations regarding the removal of trees from private property not associated with development per Kirkland Zoning Code KZC 9525. Is the above referenced party's failure to pay tree fines for unlawfully removed trees a violation of KMC 1.12.100C4? And is the above referenced party's failure to submit for and complete a tree restoration plan a violation of KMC 1.12100D? The subject property is located at 1117 First Street, Kirkland, Washington, 98033. It's zoned RS 6.3 and is located in the Norkirk neighborhood, just up the street, up First Street from City Hall here. There is one single family residence and an attached ADU on the property. Building permit records indicate that the house underwent a remodel in 2018, which you'll see on the before and after photos in the following slides. This is just an overview of the codes that we use to assess whether The tree work that was performed amounted to the removal of 25% of the live crown of the cedar tree, and if that topping constituted a tree removal and should be fined as such. KZC 95.10.14, topping. It's a definition of topping. Indiscriminate cuts made between branches that leave a stub used to reduce the height of its crown size of an established tree. Topping is not an acceptable practice pursuant to best management practices in the ANSI A300 pruning standards. And KZC 95.10.16, tree removal definition. The removal of a tree through either direct or indirect actions, including but not limited to clearing, damaging, girdling, or poisoning in each case, resulting in an unhealthier dead tree, or two, specific to this case, topping that results in the removal of more than 25% of the live crown, et cetera. These photos on this slide are before and after photos of the tree in question. The tree is circled. The top photo is a snapshot from Google Maps from June of 2019. And the second photo is from December 20th, 2023, my first site visit to the property. You can clearly see that the entire top of the tree has been removed. You can also see generally from these photos that the remodel, that an extensive remodel was done between 2019 and 2023. This is important to note because the permit for the remodel had permit conditions regarding no tree removal and maintenance and retention requirements for existing trees on site. After the initial contact letter went out in December of 2023, Mr. Mahadas and I had correspondence, emails, letters, and phone calls with each other. And we set up a site visit with Tim Coy, the city's development review arborist, to assess the tree. On April 3rd, 2024, Tim Coy and I did a site visit. We met Mr. Mahadas on site. While Mr. Coy assessed and measured the tree complained on, I discussed the following with Mr. Mahadas. We discussed tree removal permit requirements. We discussed what topping a tree means per code definitions and what constitutes a tree removal. We also had a discussion about the process for unpermitted tree removal, including I explained to him that there could be possible fines, restoration requirements, et cetera. At the time, we had also had a conversation about a fence that was being built in the right-of-way, and we discussed city requirements to build a fence in the public right-of-way, and he explained to me that other neighboring properties in the area may not be complying with city codes, at which point I directed him to go ahead and file complaints if there was something that he wanted code enforcement to investigate, because Kirkland code enforcement is reactive, not proactive, as in we respond to complaints. We don't drive neighborhoods looking for problems. So findings from the site visit, again, here's a two photos of the same tree, slightly more zoomed in on the right. Mr. Coy determined that in fact, more than 25% of the live crown of the tree had been removed. The tree is a multi-trunk tree, which with each trunk measuring 18.8 inches, 18.5 inches, and 16 inches in diameter at breast height, DBH, which is equivalent to a 30.85 DBH tree. Anything over 30 inches is a landmark tree in Kirkland code. These are street view photos of the property from 2019 on the left and in the middle, zoomed in on, and then from yesterday, April 16th, 2025. A significant amount of landscaping has been done to the property and may include the removal of another evergreen tree that we're not seeking enforcement on in this case. As shown in the 2019 photo, especially in the middle one, there appears to be an evergreen tree that was growing up underneath that cedar that was topped. The photo from yesterday shows that the tree has been removed. Also photos from on this slide. The city's public tree inventory details four street trees along the property, in front of the property, from left to right. A cypress, two Japanese snowbells, and a beech tree. The Public Works Department doesn't have any record of maintenance, like pruning, done to those street trees. Therefore, any maintenance that has been done to those street trees has most likely been done by the adjacent property owner, Mr. Mahadas. These are photos that show the tree in question on different dates. Obviously, the first one is from the Google Maps photo, June 2019. The second is from my first site visit, December 2023. And then the third on the right, the big one, is a photo from yesterday. That photo clearly shows that the tree is in distress, and at least one of the trunks from that tree is dying. You can see the branches, whatever growth has come back over the last year or so is now dying. So using the data gathered from Mr. Coy during that site visit, I determined that the fine for a 30.85-inch topped tree is $20,000. The restoration requirement for the topping or removal of a tree of this size is 11 replacement trees. And those tables on the slide are the two tables in KMC 1.12.100 that dictate, you know, that's what the codified compliance requirement is. As stated on the slide and third point, so we went over this already, but the $20,000 fine, 11 trees, a fee in lieu of restoration is $450 per tree should the restoration requirement of 11 trees not be able to be met. At the time of the violation, it was a requirement for Mr. Mahadas to apply for a tree removal permit. However, the internal policy regarding retroactive tree removal permits was changed in fall of 2024. Rather than have Mr. Mahadas submit and pay for a tree removal permit that would ultimately not be approved, we removed that requirement and he was only responsible for the assessed fines and restoration. A tree removal permit in Kirkland costs about $600. So from December 2023 until fall of 2024, it was a requirement that he apply for a tree removal permit, which never happened. A complete tree removal permit was never submitted. As shown in this timeline, the city offered extensions for both the original requirement to submit a tree removal application and for the payment of the assessed fines and the submittal and completion of a restoration plan. During the time that a tree permit application was required, Mr. Mahadas submitted several incomplete permit applications. The applications were deemed incomplete because a complete site plan was never submitted. During phone conversations with Mr. Mahadas, it seemed as though he was having trouble understanding what was required. So I, in fact, went above and beyond what is typically required of a code enforcement officer and provided site plans to Mr. Mahadas to mark up for the tree removal permit and walked him through the permitting process several times. You can see from this timeline that we have offered at least four extensions throughout the entire process until the notice of civil violation was issued. As of April 25th, 2024, Mr. Mahadas requested a fine reduction waiver because he had no knowledge of rules regarding the tree branch removal. The city reduced the fine of $20,000 to $10,000. This reduction was based on the fact that the homeowner had no prior tree code violations or education. The restoration requirement of 11 trees was not removed or reduced. There's nothing in the KMC that allows for the city to remove or reduce restoration requirements. As covered in the submitted staff report, Mr. Mahadas actually did have a building permit for a remodel of the existing single-family residence for an attached ADU 6 years ago in 2019. We didn't know about this permit at the time of the review of Mr. Mahadas' request for the fine reduction or waiver. The building permit site plan and associated permit conditions explicitly call out provisions to retain all existing trees on site and that the tree removal is not allowed without authorization from the planning department. Generally, past development permits indicate a knowledge of Kirkland code, and for the purposes of reviewing fine reduction requests, they count as previous education or knowledge of the code. When the building permit information came to light, we had already reduced the assessed fine by half from $20,000 to $10,000. I did not feel that it was fair to reevaluate that fine reduction with the new information that there is a history of development permits and tree retention conditions on the property. So as shown in the staff report and with this presentation, the city has offered multiple deadline extensions for payment of the fines, reduced the original fine from $20,000 to $10,000, and has been willing to work with Mr. Mahadas throughout this whole process. As of the date of this hearing, the assessed fines have not been paid and the required restoration plan has not been submitted or completed. Therefore, the city is asking that Mohammed Mahadas and Mercedes Basai be required to pay civil penalty fines for tree removal in the amount of $10,000 within 7 days of the hearing examiner's decision, be required to submit a restoration plan within 7 days of the hearing examiner's decision, be required to complete the work associated with the restoration plan within 30 days of the hearing examiner's decision, and if the fines are not paid and the restoration plan is not committed and submitted and completed, the city asks that Mohamed Mahadas and Mercedes Vasai be assessed fines of $100 per day from the date of the hearing examiner's decision and to continue until the fines have been paid in full and a restoration plan has been submitted and completed.
Okay. And Ed, now who's Mercedes Vasai? Actually, I didn't. Is that also the property owner? Or?
That's my wife.
Oh, that's your wife. Okay, great. Okay, good to know. All right. And Mr. Mahadas, is that how to pronounce your last name? Am I pronouncing it? Okay, all right. You have a right to ask questions of Mr. Conan about her testimony. Before you do so, just so that you don't, spend too much time on issues that I can't address, I did see in some of your correspondence, you're concerned about the fact that you were basically picked on, that other people haven't been prosecuted for the same kind of violation. What you're arguing there in legal terms is called selective enforcement. It's if correct, it's a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the state and federal constitutions. That's not an issue that I have the authority to address. I can't rule on that. That's something that you would have to address if you appealed my decision to Superior Court. The court then can address that. It would be under what they call a Section 1983 federal statute. It's a tough battle. That's an uphill battle for you if you want to go that route. I mean, the city of Kirkland, like just about every other city I work with, it does a complaint-based enforcement process, which, as Ms. Conan says, they don't enforce unless somebody complains. That's the way most cities do it, and that's usually found acceptable to the court and not a basis for selective enforcement. But like I said, it's not something I can deal with. So all your concerns about fences and they're picking on you because of race or whatever. I mean, I don't have the authority to rule on that, so there's no point in going down that path. That you're just wasting your time, and you probably you don't need to do that. So just with that, understand, unless you have a legal argument that says I can consider it, I haven't seen one yet. But I mean, if you want to make a legal argument that I do have that authority, you're free to do it. But I don't see that I do. Okay. So. My job is just to figure out if the tree is cut down unlawfully. So with that in mind, do you have any questions of Ms. Condon?
Excuse me.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
Mr. Mahadas, I have one question. I just want a clarification. Mr. Hearing Examiner, did you swear in the witness? Did you get sworn in?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We got that, and I will swear in Mr. Mahadas too.
Sure.
And I'm glad you asked, because someday I probably will forget, so... anyway, Mr. Mahadas, do you want to ask some questions of Ms. Condon?
First of all, before and after.
Come up to the mic.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, hi, my name is Mohamed Mike Mahadas. I've been living in Kirkland.
Okay. Now, are you going to, again, this is just a time for questions?
Oh, no, just for the question, I was just going to correct that. We did not remove any tree. The only part that we relocated, couple of the palm tree that I had, that they don't consider a tree.
Okay. So what's your question?
A few feet away. So the question that she had, she said she thought I cut probably another tree. It's not true. It just shifted a few feet away to the corner. So there was no other tree on the before picture and after picture from 2019. The tree.
Okay, and Mr. Mahadas, again, it's just questions right now. And
no, just a correction, like.
Okay, and we'll get that fence when it's your turn to talk. So, great. Yeah, we'll get to you. Don't worry. Okay, Ms. Condon, did you have any other witnesses, or is that it on your end?
Yes, we have.
We'd like to call Nick Salufo now.
Okay, Mr. Salufo. Mr. Salufo, just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Mr. Hearing Examiner. I noticed that my name placard was not put up.
Oh, okay.
And so I am Stephanie Kroll, the Senior Assistant City Attorney.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Did you say yes to these?
I did. I'm sworn in.
All right, Mr. Salufo, can you let us know your current position at the City of Kirkland?
Yeah, I am a planning supervisor in the Planning and Building Department.
All right, and is the planning director here today?
He is not.
Are you in his stead?
I have been deputized for today and tomorrow to be the acting planning and building director.
Well, thank you. What is your employment history with Kirkland?
I joined the city of Kirkland in 2014. I've been here about 10 and a half years. I started as an assistant planner. After a few years in that position, was promoted to planner. After a few more years there, to senior planner, and a couple years later to planning supervisor, which is the position I currently have.
And as part of that, do you supervise code enforcement officers?
I have supervised code enforcement officers for the last year and a half or so.
Okay, thank you. What is your educational history?
I have a bachelor's degree from the University of Utah in parks, recreation, and tourism with an emphasis in natural resource management, and a master's degree from the University of Michigan in urban planning.
All right. For natural resources, does that include urban trees?
I would say so.
And does urban planning include urban trees?
I would say so.
And do you have that experience in your education?
I do.
Okay. And here at the City of Kirkland, we recently amended our tree preservation code. Are you aware of that?
That is correct.
And did you help with that process?
I was peripherally involved with that process, yes.
Okay. Can you tell the hearing examiner when that occurred?
The tree code updates were adopted in 2022 after about a 4 or 5 year process, code amendment process that involved community meetings, public outreach, planning commission meetings, city council meetings.
And was there a lot of community input with regard to the regulations that were going to apply to private property owners and the regulations for removal of trees from private property?
There was, yes.
And was there community outreach on that issue in particular?
Lots of community outreach, a lot of input from community members, residents, as well as developers in the community.
All right. Now, separately, did the city also amend its code to increase fines for unlawful tree removal?
Yes. In 2020, Kirkland Municipal Code relating to tree fines was updated and increased the fine amounts associated with unlawful tree removal.
And was that an issue in the city of Kirkland? People were removing trees from their private property?
Yeah, it was. The city of Kirkland for a long time has had tree fines in the municipal code. They were fairly minimal and nominal. And what we were finding was that trees were being removed with nominal penalty, and that was seen as sort of worth it, whether it be a resident or a developer removing trees on a site. $1,000 penalty to remove a tree was seen as sort of a cost of doing business or worth the value that was being provided by removing the tree.
All right. And if a large landmark tree is removed and it increases a property owner's view, for instance, is the value to that property owner in excess of the former $1,000 fine?
Greatly, I would say.
Is that the reason why the fines were increased?
In part, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's been a recent claim from Mr. Mojadas with some materials he submitted to the hearing examiner that this was a hazard or a nuisance tree. And does the city allow homeowners to remove hazard and nuisance trees?
Yes. Yeah, the code does allow hazard or nuisance trees be removed.
All right. And so that's not prohibited, correct?
Not prohibited.
You have to follow a procedure. Is that correct?
There is a permitting procedure. In fact, some certain trees that are either dead or dying or diseased that can be shown as such with photographic evidence actually don't even require a permit. It just requires documentation to the city. If that documentation is not available, then a permit would need to be required with an arborist report and typically a tree risk assessment by a qualified professional. I would also point out that in instances where trees are felt to be imminent hazards, and our qualified professionals in the room could speak to what it means to be an imminent hazard, those are exempt from tree removal permits. So if someone is feeling in particular imminent threat They are exempt from a permit, but must, within 7 days of its removal, provide documentation of that imminent threat.
All right. So the city certainly doesn't want someone to keep a tree that's an imminent threat on their private property.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Salufo. I have no further questions.
Okay. Mr. Mahadas, any questions of Mr. Salufo? Okay. Thank you, sir, for your testimony. All right, Ms. Condon, anyone else, or Ms. Kroll?
Yes, we would like to next call our arborist, Tim Coy.
Okay. Well, Mr. Coy, welcome back. Let's swear in. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. All right, go ahead, Ms. Kroll.
And Mr. Coy, could you please tell us your current title and duties with the City of Kirkland?
Yes, I am the Development Review Arborist. I work in the Planning and Building Department, and I review tree permit applications as well as review development projects for tree retention.
Right, and can you tell us your history of when you started with the City of Kirkland?
Yes, I started in 2022 and have been in my same role since then.
All right. So you've been with the new tree code, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And are you familiar then with our current tree code?
I am.
All right. And what is your exposure to this case, the facts of this case?
I have did the site visit with Samantha Condon earlier to view and measure the tree. And have been somewhat peripherally involved with the communications going on since then.
All right. And what did you do at the site visit?
I observed the tree and then measured the individual trunks of the tree to get a full size of the tree.
And did you determine that this was a landmark tree?
I did, yes. The final measurement was over 30 inches, and the threshold for a landmark tree is 26 inches.
All right. And if we look back at, and I don't think we have this the PowerPoint up, but the PowerPoint at page 4 cites to the Kirkland Municipal Code for the Tree Preservation Code 95.10, which is the definition section of the code. And it provides a definition of topping.
Mm-hmm.
At section 14. Are you aware of that definition?
Yes.
And did you determine that the tree on Mr. Mahadas' property had been topped?
Yes. Yes, it's been pretty clearly topped, and definitely more than 25% of the live canopy was taken away.
All right. And so that's under tree removal, which is subsection 16.
Correct.
And what is the live crown? We have a definition for live crown also.
Yeah, the live crown, by our definition, is the area of a tree containing leaf or needle-bearing branches. So pretty much the whole upper portion of the tree.
All right. And did you find it difficult to determine whether or not 25% had been removed?
No. No, it was evident.
All right. Did you... when you make a determination that over 25% of the live crown has been removed, why is that considered a removal? What effect does that have on a tree?
In a lot of time, a lot of cases, that can effectively kill the tree. It's taking away its live canopy, the ability for it to photosynthesize and continue to grow. There are cases where a tree can continue to grow, but due to the way that trees grow, it'll continue to grow in a hazardous condition. So instead of just growing up from where it was cut, it's going to send out new branches from the side that are going to be poorly attached and have a hazardous condition. Plus, where the topping cut was made, that's going to just be an area of decay that's going to continue for the rest of the tree's lifespan.
And does this, if the tree doesn't die right away, has it been your experience that this topping indiscriminately of more than 25% of the live crown will reduce the tree's life?
Yes.
So your testimony is that if it continues to grow, it is likely hazardous. Is that correct?
Eventually, it will be. Once the parts get large enough, they'll be poorly attached and more susceptible to failure.
And if we look at the slideshow on slide, we go to the photos where it shows the most recent, next slide, sorry. Thank you. This picture that was taken on the right, which was taken this week, can you tell the hearing examiner what you see in this photo that indicates that the tree is unhealthy or dying?
Yeah, so the trunk on the furthest right there, you can see that it sent out some new growth, but that has now died. So I would say that trunk is effectively dead, and the rest of the growth you see there is a stress response from the tree, where it's trying to send out new shoots to try to recover its ability to photosynthesize. Whether or not those will continue to grow for the lifespan of the tree, or will continue to grow for a long time, is to be seen. If they do continue to grow, then it'll grow in a hazardous condition.
Based on the condition of the tree this week, would you recommend it be fully removed?
Yes, at this point, I don't think that there's much reason to keep the tree. It's going to just become more of a problem if it survives.
All right. And now in this same photo on the upper left side, there is a second tree growing to the left of the tree that's been topped. Is that correct?
To the left and in front of it, looks like.
And can you tell from this photo what kind of tree that is?
It's hard to tell from here, but it looked like a hinoki cypress.
A what?
Hinoki cypress.
Okay. And is there any evidence of that cypress tree in the photo that was taken this week?
No.
And do you know who removed it?
I don't.
Do you know whether it was a regulated tree?
I don't know for sure. Judging by the size, it looks like it would have been a regulated tree.
And we have a definition for regulated tree. Is that correct?
Correct. A tree that is 6 inches or greater, a diameter breast height.
All right. But we can't tell because it's gone, right?
Correct.
All right. And then did you have a opportunity to review the materials that Mr. Mojada submitted?
I did.
Okay. Mr. Mojada said that he believes this tree was a nuisance tree or a hazard tree at the time he had it topped because a branch from the tree fell on the roof of his house. Are you aware of that testimony?
I am.
Okay. And do you have a response to that testimony?
Just a simple response that a broken branch does not make a tree necessarily hazardous. Branches can and often are pruned to be maintained to reduce any hazardous situation.
All right. So our city code has a definition of a nuisance tree. Is that correct?
Correct.
And what is that definition?
A nuisance tree is one that is causing obvious physical damage to private or public structures, including but not limited to a sidewalk, curb, driveway, parking lot, building or foundation or roof, or has sustained damage from past maintenance practices or from naturally occurring events such as wind, ice, or snow loading.
All right, and that's in our subsection 17E as in egg. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, and what did you observe about this tree when you went to the first site visit that would have made you think it was a nuisance tree?
I didn't observe anything that would make me think it was a nuisance tree.
Did Mr. Mojadas give you any photographs showing that it had dead or dying limbs prior to the time he cut it?
No.
All right. And we have regulations for removal of hazard trees. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that's at 95.25 subsection 6. Did anything Mr. Mojadas present allow you to conclude that this would have been a hazard tree at the time it was topped?
No.
All right. Did Mr. Mojadas provide you with, or Samantha, with the name of the company that cut the tree?
No.
Did he provide you with a receipt for the tree cutting?
No.
Did he tell you how much it cost?
No.
Did he tell you when it occurred?
No.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Mr. Mojadas, do you have any questions, Mr. Coy? And what, Mr. Mojadas will need to go to a microphone. You can, yeah, there you go.
A couple of questions. Sure. One, are you ISA certified arborist? Okay.
Yes, I am certified.
Okay, when he came to measure basically the tree, did you look and try to find if this tree had any kind of hazardous sign?
No, I was not inspecting it for any hazardous conditions at the time. I was just looking at the damage done to the tree and the size of it.
That it? Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Clark, just got a couple quick questions for you. So if a property owner does have a tree where branches are falling every once in a while and they're, you know, concerned about their children, like Mr. Mojada says, I mean, what's their recourse there if it doesn't qualify as a hazardous tree?
Pruning is totally approved. You don't need a permit for pruning in most cases. And that happens all the time throughout the city without, we don't have to.
So you can, if you have a tree that's falling branches, you can often take care of it just by pruning. You just remove branches that look vulnerable. And then I take it you also have to make sure the tree stays balanced after that. That's all good.
Yeah, yeah. We generally recommend to have a certified arborist doing the work, or at least a knowledgeable tree worker. But yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you, Mr. Coy. Right, Ms. Kroll, any other witnesses?
Oh, I'm sorry. Tim, I wanted to follow up on the hearing examiner's question.
Sure.
That you recommend that a certified arborist do the pruning or supervise the pruning. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And is it appropriate for a tree company to just come in and say, you need to prune that tree when they don't have an arborist on site?
I would discourage that. A lot of times tree companies are working in their own self-interest and will declare a tree to be hazardous when it actually isn't hazardous. They're trying to make easy money.
So they have an agenda, is that correct?
Not 100% of the time, but it does certainly happen.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Coy. All right, Ms. Kroll, anybody else?
The city has no further witnesses at this
point. Okay, Mr. Mojadas, now is your turn, and I'll swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear for to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
So my name is Mohammed. I go by Mike Mojadas. I'm a real estate agent in Kirkland during the last 20-some years. Been living in Kirkland since almost for 20 years as well. And we have two young daughters, see here, and that they were born here and grow in the same house. So what happened, we had a tree that was a problem. I took care of this tree for years since I owned this property for almost 20 years. And as you can tell, I have added some trees in the back, spent about maybe overall over $50,000 adding plants, trees to my property. I'm not that kind of guy that, you know, just go and cut the tree. So I want to ask city just to think about one question. that just think about what would be my motivation besides safety to trim this tree. It doesn't give me any views. It actually exposed this ugly power pole. And as you see, what happened, part of the tree already was dying. And you can see it here. And so well, it so had...
You're pointing to some photographs. Is that in the hearing packet? Or if not, maybe you'll
put that in evidence? Yeah, I forgot to attach those to my... I can provide this to you here.
Okay. Do you have extra copies or are those your only?
No, I can give you this.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Mark that as...
may I see them, please?
From different angle. All these pictures were taken just very recently.
Okay, thank you.
Any objection from the city over entering them as exhibits?
No.
This is from the other side, showing that, you know, part of trees very healthy actually grew a lot more than what you see. And then this is the part that I already have problem on, have to shrink.
Mr. Hearing Examiner, I'm not sure we can hear the witness.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't have to go over there. So I have three photographs. I'll number them. The 33 is the staff PowerPoint. And Mr. Mahadas, I believe you said you didn't object to entry of the staff's PowerPoint, right? Just to make sure.
Right.
Okay,
so there are some correction that I need to make.
Okay, so it's these are to the three left photographs. Of... Oh, hold on a sec. 34, 35, and 36 are going to be Mr. Mahadas' three photographs. So go ahead.
Some of the data that city provided is not correct. For example, the tree that they mentioned to the left of this tree in the corner that they said that probably I caught, and that belonged to my neighbor. It's not even on my property. So that was not even part of my property. It's on the other side of the property corner. So I had nothing to do with it. And on this one, so what happened, this tree, we had, you know, my uncle and my cousin died from dying under the tree, felt under car. So we have this fear from, you know, beginning, and this tree during this storm caused a lot of problem. It was banging against the house, not letting us sleep. And also, you know, we have a bunch of glass railing around the, you know, our deck, upper deck, that could be, you know, also not safe for these. And the part of the tree that started to die created a bunch of dead, broken branches. So one day I was working in my basement, and this couple of guys who were working in the area, they saw the condition of the tree and knocked on my door and said, oh, we can, you know, do this, it's not safe. So they, I said, okay, you cut this, you know, dead part of it. I didn't want to top the whole tree. So went downstairs doing my work, coming back when they knocked to get their money, I realized they topped the other branches too. So I said, why did you cut the other part? They said, well, if you don't cut it, it would have been even more dangerous, because if the tree needs to be balanced, and now you have, you know, part of the tree that is top, all the weight goes to the other side, and any strong wind, it make it even worse in terms of, you know, breaking. So I relied on their expertise. I said, you know, I mean, it was too late anyway, you know, and so had no idea about any kind of rule of this 25%, which is very recent, and city did not, you know, notify any of us about this new rule. When even I came to the city hall here, tried to talk to some planners, they even, some of them didn't even know about the 25%. They had to go and dig it through their computer that, yeah, there is actually, you know, if you go to that section of little code, then you can find this 25% that we assume that you caught it. I did whatever I could, you know, to save this tree. And I argued as much as I could. I said, I don't want to cut this tree. I love the tree. And, you know, city said, you know what? If pay the fine, we assume that you cut it, go ahead and cut it. So I felt like this is about the money. It's about fine. It's not about preserving the tree. And I tried to fight it. I said, no, the tree is doing okay, and I'm going to keep it as long as I can because I wanted to actually save the tree. So having two young children, having that experience with my uncle and my cousin, you know, I felt not safe, you know, and that part had to be taken care of. Later on, we realized when we did bring, obviously, if I knew about all these rules, it was much easier to come to the city and go through the proper way. And most probably they would say, yeah, go ahead and take care of it. But, you know, that situation, what happened, you know, was on the spot. And one thing went a little bit further. So they had to balance the tree. They cut it. So, and the picture that you're looking at before and after picture is not the real true before and after picture. That picture was from 6 years ago. The tree, when we trimmed it, didn't look like exactly like that. It's already, you know, in different condition. And so we later on we confirmed that, yeah, this part of the tree, you know, had some defect and that caused, you know, some part of the tree to die. During remodeling, we did not touch the tree. It was a remodel. It was like we had nothing to do, not work around the tree. There was no construction. So the footprint of the house remained the same. Foundation is the same. It was more like, you know, working around the same foundation. So the construction back then in 2018-19 did not, you know, harm the tree. It took several years to see it. So so what I'm saying, you know, basically, this was, again, I say, you know, like, the tree in front did not, by cutting it, topping it, whatever you want to call it, pruning it, I did not gain anything besides safety. All my neighbors that they, you have a copy of their, you know, they were witness about the condition of the tree and they signed and they, you know, said that, yeah, this tree was dangerous and I had to take care of it. So they are the one who know the tree. They have seen the tree every, you know, like every day. And I felt like the guy who complained, at first it was some, yeah, kind of maybe racial because it felt like city is so harsh on me, not taking any of my reasoning. And somehow felt that this guy must have a relationship with city because they're really pushing it. And I talked to planning directors and said, yeah, you have a private, you know, complaint. And I felt like maybe this guy has some kind of influence on the city or some relationship or whatever that they feel bad not to, you know, pursue with this case for his favor. And that would be my question to the city if the guy has any relationship with anyone in the city or not. Yeah, it was like basically all I did, I tried to protect my family and my property, and I don't think I need to be punished for that. So having said that, you know, now, you know, I offered one time, I said, you know, we are wasting so much of time, you know, my time, city time. And I asked Samantha, you know, just, you know, even though I did this for safety reason, I just want to be done. Let's just, you know, accept $5,000 and we're going to be done. We don't want to waste anybody's time. It's not worth it for a few branches to waste this much of resources for a few branches. And but unfortunately, that request was rejected. And this is so harsh for protecting my family. I think I shouldn't get punished at all. Let alone that you know, originally $20,000 and planting 11 trees to protect my family. I think city should consider that when safety comes to the picture. And I tried to talk to even planning director that we need to do something about it. We need to add something in your code that if it's not safe, a tree is not safe, you have something about, you know, easing these regulations, because it's not fair. I mean, that I try to protect my family and then I need to get punished for it. It's harsh. And that's another thing that, you know, he's encouraged that I get involved with city, I don't know, and then try to push for that. But yeah, that's all I'm asking, that you consider, check, you know, because city's arborists, when came over, they didn't really, I noticed that because I asked for report, arborist report, and they said, yeah, we don't have a report. He just came to measure the tree and look at the 25% or not. And so I wish he would have looked at the condition of the tree to see, yeah, this was actually maybe was hazardous. So, I wish city would have advised, notify citizens about these new rules that they impose. You know, otherwise a regular citizen, how would know about these? We are not code specialists. People in city didn't know themselves. You know, how do you expect regular citizen to know about all these little codes? You know, cutting the tree is understandable. A lot of people know, but how many percentage, you know, who would go and measure and go through all these details if you're not in landscaping business? I did not do this for any other reason just besides protecting my family and my property. And, the tree still, you know, I love to keep it if I can, because I think, you know, as far as, you know, that it's not dangerous, but I go with your recommendation. And then I want you to consider that this safety measure should not be punishable. And look at the tree. You came and you visited. The tree is on the side of property in front, used to cover the ugly power pole. I gained nothing besides safety. And if I challenge city to give me only one reason, what would be my gain besides that? So, you know, again, just I would like also you that pay attention to the testimony that my neighbors provided, and they were witnesses to the condition of the tree. They know it, and four of them, Dr. Peterson, he wanted to be here. He couldn't. They're all at work, but you know, all of my immediate neighbors are those that they testified.
I saw in the agenda packet there was reference to some neighbor statements, but I don't think the statements themselves are in the documents that I have in the record. I don't know,
did you get my statement that I emailed to everyone?
Oh, when was
2 days?
Was
that? 2 days ago on Tuesday.
You included in that email.
Okay, is this in the documents that have been admitted? Because like I said, I mean, I have the staff report and the 32 attachments or something?
That's the city submittal. And then Mr. Mohadas emailed you 2 days ago, I believe.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't think I put that in the record yet. Let me get that up here then.
Yeah, that's very important that I would like you to read see the statements.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Okay, so I have your email from April 15th, and we have an owner statement, Philip PDF, Dr. Peterson, Walter letter, Rick's statement, and it's like a Mojada's report. So does the city have any objection over entry of those documents in the record?
No, we have, did you see a letter from Stephen Walter?
Is that in the same email or is that
yes.
Another one?
Yes, it says legacy estate planning at the top.
Hold on a second, oops. Oh yeah, 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 that was one of the.
And Mr. Pankov? Mr. Philip Pankov, right after the legacy letter.
I see that's labeled the Rick statement. Yeah, let's see. That's the report. Let's see. Let's see a Pankov in here.
I have a copy here.
It's called Philip because it's Philip Pankov.
Okay, let's see. It's just downloading. There he is. Yeah, that's on there.
Okay, and then.
Yeah. Oh, I have it, Mr. Mogadou. Yeah, yeah. I have your email. So yeah, it's April 15th with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 attachments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's one from Richard Mangialardi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the one from Dr. Peterson.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. And a letter from consulting arborist Bruce McCoy.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else, sir?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what else I need to, how I can prove myself that, you know, all the evidence are there. We have the arborist report, that tree that has some defect. We had, you know, I agree and accept that part that this is now educational for me, that I should have come through the channel at that time when I got the offer. Honestly, I didn't know pruning would require anything and taking care of the branches, but had absolutely no idea about the percentage of pruning. And I did not want to cut the tree. I would have cut it otherwise, and possibly nobody would have known, but this is not, it wasn't my intention. That's why I kept the tree. I'm trying to do my best to preserve it. And it shows, you know, growth, but the part of the tree that, you know, we had problem with originally and still you see it that it's getting dry, that part we need to do something about it if it's dangerous. But I'd like the city to consider all these that, you know, again, just to protect my kids here. And, you know, having that family issue, losing my uncle and cousin over you know, falling trees. This, you know, was a scary, scary moment that something is going to happen to me or my children or my wife or, you know, and it's going to damage the property. And it was just a safety measure.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Ms. Kroll, any questions?
Yes. I also wonder, are you going to be calling any additional witnesses?
They, my own witnesses?
Yes.
No, they have written, but if you need to talk to them, they all offered to, you know, take a call or whatever.
Okay,
you know,
like. So, Mr. Mojadas, thank you for coming today. And I did want to start with this tree company. And who was the tree company?
They were not really a company. There were two Mexican guy that they were passing by, and they even didn't have, they used hands out, they climbed the tree. They, you know, they charged a little bit, was like around 600 or so. And especially they said, if you pay cash, we give you a discount. So, and I saw the situation and they were right there. And I said, okay, just go and clean it up. But again, my instruction was just for the dead part. The other part that they did, they said they had to do it just to balance the weight of the tree.
And you paid with cash?
Right.
And did you go to the city first to obtain a permit for this trimming?
No, unfortunately, I had no idea that, you know, pruning needs a permit.
Did you check the city code?
No, again, you know, I've never ever would have thought first that they're going to, you know, also trim the other part of the tree. So pruning, you know, throughout the years, we, you know, we had dead branches, we cleared it up. I had no idea that, you know, unless you need to cut the tree, you have to get permit for pruning.
Did you take any pictures of the tree before it was pruned?
We have, not immediately. I don't have like never ever thought I'm going to be here one day. I would have not first done it this way. Secondly, I would have documented everything. Right, but at that moment, you don't think that one day you have to come to the city and prove yourself.
Okay, so you do understand, however, that you can come in after the fact and prove that the tree was hazardous, but you don't have any evidence of that. Is that correct?
I have the evidence of my, like, you know, the branch that caused. I had these two panels of the glass railing that I have. At one point, one branch fell on it and lose it. It didn't fall. But during the windstorm, it caused it to fall. So I had that kind of damage, but I don't have, again, you really don't think this has happened. First of all, the complaint came while after, and then you never think that, you know, I'm going to be here one day. Again, I would have first come to the city, and probably if I knew that you have to go through this process and all the rules, I would have not gone that way, you know.
All right, so you submitted some statements from your neighbors. One by Mr. Stephen Walter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and where does he live?
He lives to the north. It's corner of, we're in the middle of the block. They're in corner of 12, I would say northeast corner of 12 and 1st.
All right. And he indicates that he and his wife offered to hire an arborist and pay for the removal of a different tree located on your property. Is that correct?
Yes. There is another tree that is to north side of my property.
Was that before or after this tree was topped?
He's been asking it for me. He asked for years. every time I said, no, sorry, go talk to this, you know, I'm not the one to get involved. First of all, it's kind of, I try to get away from, you know, be polite at the same time. I said, maybe it's not on my property. Maybe it's on neighbor. It could be even city. I don't know. So I wanted to be polite, and I rejected it each time. But over years, he asked me to, you know, we pay for it, we do something. Can you do, you know, cut it? So, and I said no. I love my tree. I need some shade in my yard. You know, like.
So do you understand that if you knew who the tree company was, they would be responsible parties and could split this fine with you?
Yeah, you know, I wish.
And if your neighbor paid for this tree removal, your neighbor would be a responsible party and could split this fine with you.
Right.
But you're saying that that didn't happen.
Never happened. Nobody asked me about this particular tree. Nobody asked me anything.
All right. And your neighbor said, though, that the removal of this tree has increased their view from their property.
Probably, you know, that they are, I mean, they're not directly,
He said it in his letter.
Yeah, I know, but it's not that much probably compared to, you know, like for me, it would be no gain. What would be for everybody else is, you know, is a different story.
But that's a gain for you to have goodwill with your neighbors, correct?
Correct, but I do not to the expense of, you know, first of all.
Well, you didn't think it would be an expense.
No. I did not absolutely take any recommendation on this particular tree that I cut. Nobody asked me to cut it. nobody offered anything.
And you also understand that you have to replant 11 trees, correct?
That's something that I hear now for, you know, like, but again.
And you've been asked and given 3 or 4 extensions of time to submit a plan to show where you're going to put those trees, correct? And you haven't done it.
I tried to do it first by hand. They said, well, we don't accept, you know, because I'm not, you know, you have to hire a landscape architect. You have to do this. I asked my landscape architect, you know, she wants to charge. And then so I printed something and I marked with pen that I'm going to plant one here. I don't have room. I said, as much as I have room, you know, I don't care. I love to, if I can plant more. I already plant one towards my view, actually. That is blocking my view.
Are you objecting to that condition today, replanting 11 trees?
If I have whatever I can fit into my house, no.
Okay, but you...
I said you have not worked with the city to do that.
Is that correct?
We can remove that tree, put another tree right on the same spot, same tree if you want. But if there is room for it, we can put one next to it.
But your neighbor's letter, Mr. Walter, he said that, first of all, he thinks that you've been fined over $20,000 and you haven't.
Yeah, because his information was from before.
But this,
its original fine was not updated by, our communication that they reduced it to 10.
All right. So these letters are dated from a year ago.
The letter was not dated from a year ago, but his information was from not totally a year ago, but it was like from last year.
Okay, so they're dated from this week with old information.
Or for this Walter, yes.
And he does not want you to replant 11 trees on your property because they will block his view, he says. Is that correct?
I mean, it's his opinion, you know, like neighbors can ask whatever they want. That's nothing to do with me. He obviously,
but you submitted
nobody
it.
Wants 11 tree in front of them, but for me, it's a different story. Neighbors, you know, obviously I saw that and I was like, this is neighbors, you know, they can wish whatever they want, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to go for it for what they want.
And Mr. Walter said that he observed this tree that was trimmed shed branches and sway dramatically during windstorms. Did you ever talk to him about that before you topped the tree?
No.
Is he a ISA certified arborist?
Who?
Mr. Walter?
Walter, no, he's an attorney.
Okay. And you submitted a statement from Philip Pankoff, correct?
Correct.
And he said he also saw broken branches of this tree and that he believes these branches presented an imminent threat to the safety of children playing in the yard.
And this is my neighbor to the south. Again, for him, no gain. He's, you know, he's on the same side of me, on the south side of the property.
And Mr. Pankoff did not cite the city's regulation as to what constitutes an imminent threat. Do you know if he knows of the city's regulations regarding imminent threat? Is Mr. Pankoff an ISA certified arborist? Okay. You submitted a statement from Mr. Richard Mangialardi, is that correct? All right. And he also testified that he saw these broken branches and he also believed that they created an imminent hazard.
They thought the condition of the tree, they're not, you know, all they're saying, yeah, we thought you had broken branches and, you know, a part of the tree that was not good and it was risky for children. So they're just saying, yeah, we saw that.
Okay.
So they're not saying that we are specialists, we are arborists, or we are, you know, anything else.
So Mr. Mangialardi is not an ISA certified arborist, is that correct?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, and you submitted a statement saying the same thing from Jeff Peterson, and he is not an ISA certified arborist either.
He's a university professor and doctor. I don't believe he is an arborist.
Okay, and then you have submitted an updated, it looks like an email from Bruce McCoy, your consulting arborist, is that correct? And is he an ISA certified arborist?
Yes, he is.
All right, and he has no knowledge of the tree before it was topped, is that correct?
Not before, yes.
Yeah, so he wrote a statement based on what you told him about the tree being topped, correct?
Right.
All right. And he indicates that he believes the tree is dying now and that it is a hazard tree at this time.
Right.
So I want to talk about your fine. Because the fine is $20,000. This is a landmark tree, over 30 inches in diameter at breast height, correct? And the fine for that is $20,000 in the city's code. You understand that?
Well, this is not what I see, yeah.
And the city reduced it by half because they listened to your concerns that you felt it was hazardous and you didn't know the city code, and that's why you had this work done, correct?
Yeah, but it's again for, I think even still is too much. It's something that I'm not able to pay. I don't have money right now. I'm already negative with IRS. And then plus, you know, just for the other part that I see that, you know, is my intention was just to do something right. And I shouldn't get punished that harsh for it. Understand city's regulation, but they should understand that this is
but
done
you understand
for
the
good of
city
and
reduce
for
the fine
for
by
safety.
Half, correct? You understand
yeah,
the city reduced the fine
harsh
by half?
Yeah, thinking, you know, like it's still is a lot for something that it had to be done anyway. It just, I had to come maybe and get permit or whatever is still is very, very harsh.
And do you understand today why the regulations are that harsh?
Yeah, you know, yeah, they want to make sure people, they just don't go and for open up their view or whatever they want to do to cut the tree. They want to preserve the trees, which I understand. Right. And look at my history. If you look at my history, you see how much I added to this property in terms of just vegetation. I work in the city of, you know, like in the park, let's say volunteered before, and Juanito Park, that used to be King County, now cities. You know, all my record is, you know, I encourage that. I don't feel that you're my enemy and I shouldn't be your enemy. I feel like I'm paying taxes you know, for people to protect me. If I'm doing something for the good cause, I should not get punished like that.
Well, you remodeled your home, correct?
Correct.
And did you install artificial turf at that time?
Yes.
Okay. And when leaves and branches fall on artificial turf, it's kind of a mess, right?
This tree doesn't have that kind of, you know, leaves.
Well, that's what you're complaining about, that it was dropping branches all over.
Big, I'm talking about, not needle, I'm talking about big, big branches.
Well, it's a cedar tree, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I have two cedar trees at my house. Yeah. I'm aware of the mess they make. Did you really not benefit by this tree being topped with your artificial turf?
I had it for 20 years. If I wanted to do it, I would have done it 10 years ago.
You didn't have artificial turf 10 years ago.
Doesn't matter because the tree is right in the corner of property. It doesn't really, it's not in the middle of my yard. So if this is my property, this is my yard, the tree is right here.
So it's
right almost on the borderline.
Yeah, so
it doesn't maybe a few feet of maybe, like I would say, in terms of needles, maybe a little bit, but it's how much of that in only during the fall, a little bit? No, that was absolutely not, and I'm not, you know, again, it's not one of those big leaves that.
Well, know, either the tree presented a danger to your property or it didn't. You're saying it now it's over on the side, just a couple feet. A few minutes ago, you're saying it's the whole property and my roof. So I don't know what to make of that.
When the tree is falling, the tree like that, when the branches fall, it don't fall like this. It falls like that. But
so I believe leaves fall like that also. Is that correct?
No. I mean, the leaves goes down. They don't have that much weight. They fall. I don't know. This is like needle doesn't bother me during a fall. It's not that much of impact to go and do something like this if it wasn't for safety.
Okay. And so you brought these safety concerns to the city, correct?
Yes.
You said, but I did it for safety, right?
I did it for safety, for sure.
But you've never told anyone at the city about your uncle and cousin before today. Is that
no,
true?
No, but it just, you know, like it's not their business. You know, I mean, they're concerned.
It would have been their business, but we didn't know it.
Yeah, I mean, it just sometimes it's my mind when I saw the picture of my kids and it reminded me of danger. Automatically, I thought of that, but I thought, you know, it would not be something that they would probably, you know.
So we can't confirm that today.
Confirming?
That there was this accident that happened to your family. We've heard about it for the first time.
Right.
And additionally, you didn't bring any information to the city to justify that this was a hazard tree before it was cut, correct?
Correct.
All right. I have no further questions.
Okay. All right, Mr. Mujadas, any final comments or?
Yeah, so the final comment will be, you know, I accept the part that it's a learning education for me too. You know, going forward, yeah, you know, if anything similar happens, now I know the route I need to do, how to do it. I'd like the city to consider the situation that I was in and, you know, consider that. It was like, and again, I want city to think about what would be only one benefit that I may gain out of this by doing that. If you don't believe that it wasn't purely for safety, then it would have been for what? And that would be, you know, my comments. And honestly, you know, this is the reality, is the truth. And that's why I've been fighting it for all this year and a half that I thought I should not be punished for this. And let alone that punishment is so harsh. I'm not able to pay this. You know, I'm more than happy to do volunteer work or whatever, but I'm not able to afford this fine right now. I don't know, you know, whatever city will decide, but this is my situation right now.
Thank you, Mr. Mujadas.
Yes, sir.
Back to the city. Ms. Kroll, any rebuttal witness or concluding comments?
Yes, I would like to call Samantha Condon on rebuttal.
Nope. Nice to hear him.
Okay. Ms. Condon, were you here for Mr. Mahadas' testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Did you hear him say that he would like to know if the person who complained about his property has any relationship with you or anyone else in code enforcement at the city?
Yes, I did hear that.
Can you respond to that?
Yes, I can. No, we have not had, I personally have not had any past experience with the complainant beyond... the first time I ever heard of him was when I opened up the code case and saw the original complaint and went from there. And then since then, he has asked the status of the case. But prior to the case being the complaint coming into the city, I had no previous history with him or knowledge or correspondence with him.
Did you bring this code enforcement case to appease the complainant?
So,
or did you bring it because that's your job?
That's my job. Like I said earlier, the City of Kirkland code enforcement program is complaint based. We are not proactive. We don't take complaints. We take complaints through official sources, through official avenues like the Q alert. So when they can submit a complaint online via email, we have to have a documented, an actual documentation of the complaint. And we also don't take anonymous complaints unless there's a life safety or an environmental impact from the complaint. So no, we had no prior contact with the complainant about this property or any other ones as far as I'm concerned or am aware of.
And for any reason, did you choose to pursue this code complaint against Mr. Mojadas for any reason other than the fact that he violated the code?
No.
I have no further questions.
Okay. Scott, I actually just some quick ones. I believe you made some comments the first time you were up that the city's changed its policies about tree removal permits and doesn't require them. But I take it if Mr. Mojadas did apply for one based on the fact it was a hazard tree and got that approved, then the fine would be waived, right? Is that correct? Or not apply, I should say.
Yeah, so we changed our policy regarding retroactive tree removal permits, specifically for code enforcement cases. Had he applied for a permit for a hazardous or nuisance tree, that would have gone through the normal avenues of providing photographic evidence, et cetera. Tim
right.
would have reviewed that, and the city would have reviewed against.
Okay, he still could have applied for an after the fact, and if it was approved, then there'd be no fine. Is that still how it works?
No, not anymore.
Oh, okay.
So in the fall of 2024, we revised that internal policy.
Oh, I see.
We were running into issues with code cases where retroactive tree permits were being applied for and paid for, and those permits can run upwards of $600+.
Mm-hmm.
And then after reviewing them, realizing that even with the information provided or even available at the time of submittal, the city wouldn't have approved that tree permit. So rather than have someone apply for the permit, pay $600, only to have it denied, we changed the policy to not require tree removal permits, retroactive tree removal permits. And I feel like I'm not explaining this.
Yeah, because what I hear you saying is they're not required anymore, but what I'm asking is, could he still do it if he wanted to? Not being compelled to, but can he still apply for an after-the-fact permit? And if he's able to present the evidence sufficient to show it's a hazard tree, would that then result in no fine?
I mean, if he applied for the permit and was able to show evidence that it was, in mm-hmm. fact, a hazard tree, we would take that into consideration. I think that we have a case that's actually ongoing where we did have them apply for a tree removal permit. It was denied, and it went through the tree appeal,
appeal
process.
Yeah.
So rather than have it split up with specific cases, obviously each case, every mm-hmm. chopped or cut tree or whatever is a very specific, different scenarios. So we opted to, for this case, have everything, not have them apply for a retroactive tree permit, spend $600, and just put the condition of the tree as well as whether or not a violation occurred all into this one hearing.
Okay. Yeah. I was just trying to find out if it was just an issue of it's no longer mandatory or not, but that's still an option if he did have the evidence. I understand in
right.
most cases they probably don't have the evidence.
Right.
But if he did, you know, for whatever reason, had a bunch of photographs, had a certified arborist go out there and tell him it's dangerous, then you probably wouldn't levy the fine. You'd approve the after the fact permit. And at the time of the
first contact letter that I sent out, we didn't issue a fine. In fact, I sent out a letter in December of 23
mm-hmm.
saying, let's talk about this. I want to understand what happened. And it wasn't until April of 24 when we went out and did a site visit and I didn't actually issue a notice of fines until April of 24.
Okay.
To understand. And in that time frame, asked for evidence of the tree being as hazardous, et cetera, and explained multiple times that we have regulations for trees if the homeowner believes that they're an imminent danger to the house or et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
We have a process for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because Mr. Mogadas is saying, why don't you have an exception for dangerous trees? And
right.
you do. So it's
do.
There.
Yeah.
But and like I said, I don't know if he's got the evidence to establish it or not. I think the city has concluded from what they've seen so far that he probably couldn't get it approved. I think he said it'd be denied. So
right.
I mean, would there be any benefit in, you know, if I find a fine to say X dollars or get an after the fact permit approved and leave it up to him if he comes up with the evidence to get that permit? Yeah.
John Regala, planning supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like just to add that in cases where there's retroactive tree permits, the reason why we've changed our policy, well, one of the reasons is because once the tree has been topped or removed, there really is a lack of evidence. So unless there's information, like let's say an arborist report that was prepared prior to the mm-hmm. action, then I'd say that's a valid point, but usually there isn't one.
Yeah.
And therefore there is no evidence. And therefore, what's the point of.
Yeah. You know, yeah. No, I'm just saying to leave open that possibility. Someone did. I mean, it is possible someone would get the arborist and the report and everything else that, you know, just for their own benefit to know that it should be done. And they have that evidence for an after the fact.
Right. But
that's
going
to be pretty rare.
At this point, I don't think we've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I covered it in the PowerPoint, but I do have a timeline of the deadlines and extensions that we offered. Offered one, I've set 1, 2, 3, 4 deadlines for him to apply for a retroactive tree.
Oh, he did. Permit. Okay, that's right.
And no complete permit application
right.
submitted. I gave him site plans, tried to help him as best I could, walk him through the process, et cetera, and asked for photographic evidence, explained to him what we look for when we review tree permit applications, gave him Tim Coy's phone number to talk to if he wanted, et cetera. Like,
okay,
so we gave him multiple opportunities to apply for retro tree permit. Policy changed based off of current cases and et cetera. Not this one, but like other cases and stuff. And so, yes, we have given him ample opportunity. We don't believe that evidence, one, exists, and that two, it would be prudent to even allow him to apply for
okay.
a permit now.
All right. Okay. Mr. Morgadas, you can question Ms. Condon.
So just to be fair on that part, you know, like the way that the website is doing this, because at first my understanding was like I tried to apply as trimming because I didn't cut the tree. So it has to be, I thought this is something that I said after the fact, it was miscommunication that now you go and apply for tree removal. And I didn't want to remove the tree. So I don't want to remove it. I want to keep it. So, and then after she explained, no, this is just for, you know, this reason, you know, I tried again, but I got stuck at the point that, you know, for uploading the site plan, it will not accept my site plan. Then the site would only take so many bytes. My site plan was, you know, larger. And then city's website was down. One extension was done for that because it didn't work. So it was a combination of all these. It wasn't like, okay, 4 times I had extension for these and I ignored it.
I mean, Mr. Organizer was saying you want to apply because it doesn't sound like you have the evidence you'd need to get it approved. Because the evidence necessary to have it approved is usually something you have to collect, you know, before you do it.
Right. And before, no, this was, yeah, exactly. And again, this was something that they wanted me to do after the fact.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, but are you saying you'd still want to apply now, even though you did?
They said there's no need anymore. There is no need at that time when we stop it.
Okay.
She said, well, there's no need to waste $600 because we're going to reject it anyway. So there is no need to apply. And that was when we stopped.
Okay. And Ms. Connell, let me just, you know, on that point, I mean, we have a lot of neighbors who can testify about the condition of the tree. I mean, Mr. Morgadas theoretically could get an arborist to form an opinion based on what everyone can say the tree had looked like. Wouldn't that be sufficient in some cases or not?
I think that I would defer that question to Tim Coy, our arborist, who did in fact review that type of information.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we don't need to.
I have an arborist report saying that, you know, the tree, you know, had some, you know, defect to begin with. And that's most probably caused those, you know, dead branches and whatever. So that's part of the.
Although I think what the city's saying is that that wouldn't be enough to get the approval. That's why they said, you know, it's not worth trying if that's all you have. You know, you need more than that.
I could, if I could interject also. And we understand that Mr. Mohadas is not a professional arborist, but he did not submit an arborist report, which is specific about the requirements of what it needs to contain. His and his arborist did call the city, you know, and understands the city's code, and still did not prepare an arborist report. With the implication being that he did not have enough information to prepare anything that would be acceptable at the city. So we I don't believe that Mr. Mohadas is trying to mislead the city or the hearing examiner by calling it an arborist report, but it doesn't meet the definition of arborist report as required by code.
I understand that. Okay. Yeah, it just doesn't have the, and like I was saying, Mr. Mohadas, you know, I think what the city is saying is that it's usually not going to be possible to put together the information you need after the fact, because you have to have the tree there to assess whether it needs to be taken.
The tree is there. I mean, there. At least for the most part. And then, you know, the arborist, my understanding was when he called the city of Kirkland, you know, basically, I didn't know that you need that whatever full report. But we have the report. I can have ask him. I can ask him to complete it. That the tree, you know, he came. He examined it. See the tree three times during last since, you know, last from last year to now, and you know, he observed the deficiency, and he said, you know, this tree actually is hazardous, and he told me probably this caused that, you know, the branches to be, you know, part of the tree to be dead to begin with. I would have had definitely, you know, if I would have come to right channels to begin with, you know, city would have approved it. Now we're in this situation that something happened. I know it's a learning situation, and I know I have to take some responsibility, but it's not, I want you to know that, you know, again, this was purely for protection of my family and my house.
Yeah, understood, thank you. Yeah. All right, I'll go ahead and close this hearing as well then. And yeah, I think a big part of it is going to be, I mean, Mr. Mohadas, you definitely, you know, I think you do qualify for a substantial reduction in the $20,000 fine. A, you know, you didn't do it for your views. B, you didn't know that the regulations were in place. And C, the tree cutter did more than you asked him, apparently, as well. Those are all significant factors, but the city has done a substantial reduction in fines, and that may very well be enough, you know, to address those factors. I'm going to look at my other decisions, try to be consistent with how other people have had their fines reduced, you know, in your case as well. But I think, especially for, you know, I think a big factor is that, like you say, this was purely for safety. I mean, it didn't help you with your views, might have helped your neighbors some, but I don't think you did it for your neighbors. I do believe that.
Well, didn't really for that neighbor. Yeah. The other tree would have helped him better, which I didn't touch.
Yeah.
In terms of needle, honestly, looking at that ugly pole is way worse than collecting a few.
I understand. I think you made all your points very well. So it's I'll have to look at that. And like I said, it's an issue of fairness. Like I said, the city has substantially reduced the fine. And so, you know, I just want to make sure everyone's treated equally by the time they get in front of me. So I'm going to look at other decisions and figure out if that's, you know, within the range of what the fine should be. So, but you already got half of it gone. So we'll see, you know, I'll see if any more needs to be reduced.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you all for your participation today. So we're adjourned for the day. That's it.
Thank you.